Before we begin with this week's episode, I just wanted to jump in and let you know about a terrible accident our friend Joel Paul suffered. He was seriously injured recently while helping a neighbor take down a tree. He was also our guest on episodes 405 and 406, and you may know him on Instagram as @13starsfarm. Joel's injuries, unfortunately, are extensive and severe, and his recovery will be long and expensive. So if you have a little bit to spare, please consider a donation to the GoFundMe set up by his daughter, Rachel. Any amount will help. There'll be a link to the GoFundMe campaign for Joel in this episode's description. Thank you very much. And now back to the show. Hi, I'm Kyle, and on episode 501 of the MWA podcast, Sean, Brian, and myself are asking Sam Hunt the 5 questions. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out Sam's interview on episode 499. So welcome back to the show, Sam.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, and welcome thanks back for being our 501st guest.
It's really cool. Like I said, last episode, congrats on getting past 500. It's wild.
Well, thank you. Thank
exactly, you exactly. And thanks for waiting a couple of weeks before you came back on the show. So that was really nice of you. Anyway, a little behind the scenes there. But before we get to the 5 questions, do we have a Patreon shout out this
week? We do. As always, a big thanks to our Patreon supporters. Today, we're giving a huge shout out to Colin Anderson. So thank you very much, Colin. If you would like to support the MWA podcast, you can go to www.patreon.com/MWA podcast and pick your level of support. Any bit of support helps, and we very much appreciate it. And we're hoping to continue to grow the show.
Yes. And thanks so much, Colin. Well, Sam, the 5 questions. So we'll start off with question number 1. What's your favorite tool? And as always, our limit is 23.
Well, it's definitely the Panther router. No question there. But I mean, I guess I'll go with a hand tool. And I think the combination square doesn't get enough love. So,
yes.
Yeah, a combination square is just something that, like, once you start using it, should be pretty early on in the woodworking journey. It's just something you're going to be reaching for.
Yeah,
all the time to make things a whole lot easier and faster.
What's your go-to size? 6 inch.
I have just like I think it's 6 inch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I've good. Got like a dual set from Lee Valley. It's like I think it might actually be brandless. They sell through Lee Valley, but I asked them what it was, and it's the eye gauging brand.
Mm.
And yeah, good value for a quality set of combination squares.
Nice. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I have quite a few. I have a marking and layout tool fetish, but anyway,
I think we all do.
Yeah. But I got a couple of 4 inches, a couple of 6 inch. These are not the combo squares. These are just the double squares. And then I have a 6 and a 12 inch combo square. So,
nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Once you start going down that road. But yeah, and my first double square was the Lee Valley one. And it's not bad. Works real well.
Yeah, it works real well. But yeah I mean, the Panther router is, I think it's just a fun tool to use, but it kind of just like, I mean, it's not cutting corners, but I mean, it opens up a whole bunch of new doors and what you can do in woodworking, specifically for furniture making and stuff like seating and chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Seating and smaller tables. You know, the Domino, I have both the Dominoes and they both have their place. I actually recently just got the DF 700, which might be my favorite tool, but I haven't used it yet. But I was hunting on Facebook Marketplace for that for a long time. I finally got one. I'm pretty cool. confident in that. But yeah, the Panther router, you can just do so many different sizes of tenons that, you know, it can open up doors to much larger pieces and can allow you to make details to smaller pieces. So something I don't think I'll ever get tired of having the opportunity to use.
For sure.
Yeah, I've always wondered about the panel router and how it compares to the multi-router. Y'all remember the multi-router? I forgot.
Yeah.
Who bought that? Who owns the multi-router now?
Is the multi-router the one with the table that moves?
Yeah, well? I believe so, yeah. Is that wood? Did Woodpeckers end up with that?
I think it was Woodpeckers. I think they still sell it.
Yeah. Because
it comes right to Woodpecker's website. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think they were their standalone company. They got bought out by somebody, and then I think Woodpecker's bought them. But yeah, before the Panther router, that was the go-to. But it's probably like twice as expensive as a Panther router.
It seems a lot more robust in what it's doing. Not to diminish what the Panther router does, but I like the fact that the Panther router, and you mentioned that before, you need to know kind of a deep understanding of what you're doing. If you want to make a dovetail joint, if you want to make a tenon joint, you need to understand the operation in order to set it up properly, to be able to do it properly. And I like that. It's not like a simple guide. I can't have my 10-year-old go and just do a thing. You know, you have to have a logical understanding of the process in order to do it properly with that tool. That tool makes it easier, but it's not a gimme, you know?
No, yeah, you definitely still, I mean, you need to understand the principles really well, and then you need to be disciplined in your process and in the procedure of using
mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
to get those kind of YouTube, you know, results.
yeah. I mean,
like, it's pretty tempting to just bash things out as quick as possible, but I mean, it's just the nature of woodworking in general. Like, you can't. This never works like that, especially in furniture making. Yeah, sure. You always have to try and be as precise as possible.
So next question, who has influenced you the most in your woodworking?
Man, that's a good question. I definitely look for inspiration from, I guess I would say, like, modern kind of current designer makers. And there's so many, at least on Instagram now. You know, there's a lot of really good studios in Australia. I know you've had him on before, kind of, I wouldn't say we're buddies, but we chat a little on Instagram, Kyle Kidwell. He's,
mm-hmm.
I think he's kind of, yeah, the man when it comes to small studio furniture, these days, at least on Instagram, from what I see, he does pretty incredible, pretty multifaceted woodworker and designer. There's a lot, you can get a lot of inspiration just right now on Instagram in general, but something to kind of like, keep in mind and stay away from and try and get your own ideas, because I mean, just the nature of kind of these of the social media, there's always going to shove something down your throat, and you got to kind of stick to your own guns. So that answer the question? Should I try again?
Yeah, that's good. Cool. I mean, it's out there, but kind of temper your expectations a little bit and find the good ones, because there's a lot out there, right?
I mean, yeah, and like, I think like one thing I thought I would have felt comfortable saying with, like, maybe a little earlier on, is like the kind of quote of like, I found my voice as a designer. And I think right now I'm more comfortable saying like, I'm close to that. You know, you take little bits and pieces from designers from the past, or designers right now, designer makers that we see right now. And I think right now is an interesting time because we get to see all the new technology that's coming in. I wouldn't say the Panther router is like terribly new, but you get to see what people are doing with the shaper and CNC, and it kind of just opens up new doors on what we can do. So yeah, it's really cool to see we have all these talented makers sharing their process and sharing exactly what they're doing with each other. And yeah, it's exciting.
Awesome.
Very cool.
So our third question is, what is your woodworking white whale? Which is, what is basically the one thing that you've wanted to make that you have not yet gotten to?
So I'd love to make like a lounge chair. I think I've got an idea pretty hashed out in my head and some sketches of what that's going to look like. I think it's going to be done this year, at least a prototype or two. I think honestly the white whale is like the lounge chair. Like, I think that's probably not terribly uncommon in woodworking to want to scratch that itch, but chair making for me just became this, like, I don't know, this big mountain to climb, in that like I wanted the chair to be my own. And once you realize like how many, you see all these other chairs out there, and like how unbelievably difficult it is to come up with an original design. I don't know if that is visible anymore.
But, probably not, but you can, you know, riff on a design. Definitely.
You can riff on a design or kind of give it your own flavor, or like through the...
Unless you're Pepe Lima, and then he does original stuff.
That guy's out there. I love that. I love his page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like a few years later and I still haven't done that. And I think that's okay, but I feel pretty excited for what I have in my head. And I'll see what comes out in the shop in the next little while.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that. So anyway, we just need to get you in the world of, you know, winters, you know.
Yeah.
Come to the dark side, yeah.
I would love to make a Windsor chair. I absolutely would love to. I mean, Bern Chanley stuff. I'd love to go take some of his classes. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure.
I just signed up for his class with Pete Galbert.
Oh, you too.
Yeah, cool. I got one of the spots. This number 14 chair. I'm really excited.
Oh, I would be too, yeah.
When is that?
November, I think.
Okay. All right.
Actually, Kyle, we were chatting, I think, through email. You might not have known it was me. I was asking about your spindle boring jig. I was almost going to buy it for one of the two lounge chair ideas I have. But, I mean, that will come. I've been eyeing that jig for, I think, 3 years now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, just let me know. Nice.
No, I'm psyched. It's,
Kyle will draw his logo in a Sharpie on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he will.
It's an attempt at branding.
All right. So,
you don't want to see me draw. No.
get a stamp. Stamp, yeah. Sticker, something.
Yeah, stamp my sign, work. Sign, yeah. Brand,
you're in Texas, branding iron. Come on.
That's right. Torch and a branding iron.
Torch and a branding iron. So, Sam, what has been your biggest stumbling block?
So, I mean, as we talked in the interview, mm-hmm. you can see I've got like three avenues of like the custom, the product, and like the woodworking plans or courses. Mm-hmm. And I think I've done like a pretty good job on each three, but I think, you know, you guys would probably understand just being a woodworker and furniture maker in general is like a really challenging thing to do. So I haven't had like a terrible amount of focus in one of them. And it's just kind of picking a lane and sticking with it. Cause at this point, I'm pretty sure if I just do one of them really well and that's it, there's going to be success. It's a matter of just trying to like wrap my head around, which lane I should be in right now. Like since I had my kid, it's been custom just from, mm-hmm. you know, custom pays the bills, custom comes in. Custom's for me quite stressful. You know, you have people paying you a lot of money to do something you've never done before.
Yeah.
I don't find like woodworking, at least the custom side, like super romantic, like a lot of people see on like YouTube and stuff. It's pretty tough. I think it's really hard. I definitely love doing it and I love making customers happy and excited, but when you're trying to execute on something, it can be tough. So yeah, that's my stumbling block. It has been for maybe longer than I'd like to admit, but it's just picking a lane and sticking with it. You know, there's benefits to each, the custom, it can work, you know, IKEA can't do custom. Product is really tough because, you're competing with so many different furniture retailers, but, you know, there's good margin in it because you can make it with speed and you've done it before. And if the design's compelling, you can charge a premium.
Right.
And then the plans are, you know, the plans are really cool. It's more of like a entrepreneurial thing and that, you know, there's some scale to it and, you know, it can becomes something that you can build income over a lifetime. But,
Yeah, it's your passive income type thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. I know I'm not asking, sure if you guys can put me in the right direction, but it's something that's been my biggest stumbling block for a little while.
Oh, for sure. And it's the balance of all those endeavors. I mean, there's a lot of things at play and you got to find the one that works best at the time. It's not concrete and going forward. It can be fluid in a way, but finding how all those different things can work together to keep you going forward.
You're exactly right. Like I was hoping, and it still works a little bit, but it's a lot to do when it's just one person. Like made the plans. I'm definitely going to make more. And then, you know, I'll post my regular custom stuff on Instagram as kind of an engine to drive interest. And then, you know, I'm trying to be super optimistic. I think you have to be in this whole experience, this whole journey. And I've been lucky enough in the new space, the other company that's sharing the space with me, they have a 5x10 CNC. So, you know, maybe I can do the custom stuff that, you know, you know, I can keep making beautiful products for local customers where I'm able to figure out some systems where I can batch out, you know, some products on the CNC. So, you know, maybe there is a world in which all of this kind of runs in parallel.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with you. And it also depends on what your bandwidth is. And
yeah.
We all have those issues, you know. For sneak peek, I have a new jig. It's been tested. It's been, you know, approved by other chair makers, but I just don't have the bandwidth right now to introduce it. So it'll come. It'll come. But all anyway. Right.
That is great.
So anyway, you know, hopefully not by the time this posts, but hopefully in a couple of months, I'll have some bandwidth. I can actually do it because, you know, to actually introduce a new jig, I need to do some videos on it. I need to do all that kind of stuff. So it, you know, it's one of those things. It's all a bandwidth problem, but I'm not complaining.
How does that usually work when you're getting feedback for your jigs?
Yeah, usually this one actually was suggested by a chair maker, a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you build something like this for me? And he had built a rough prototype. I went, fine, I'll build you one. You can test it out and all that kind of stuff. And so we went through a couple of iterations. And so at this point, it was just like, yeah, it's done. He's tested it. And I just need to find the bandwidth to go ahead and introduce it. Because like a lot of my jigs, when I introduce them, I know I'm going to have an influx of orders. So I got to be able to handle those. But with the current batch of orders I have, I just don't have the bandwidth at this point to drop everything and, you know, basically, you know, come up with a new jig and, you know, all the parts and all that kind of stuff that's part of it.
I mean, that's probably the best problem to have in business is.
Yeah. If I exactly, it's getting to that point. It's like, boy, I could use another hand around here, but I'm not making near enough money to actually hire somebody. But anyway, it would be nice. It would be nice. And so far, my wife hasn't expressed any interest in helping me out. So, anyway,
I've met your wife. I don't think she's going to be grinding drill bits for you or anything.
No, probably not.
Now, if I need some musical accompaniment to my videos, right, yeah, you can do that for me.
Sure. Some piano background music.
Exactly.
All right, Sam. Question 5, and you kind of already answered this partially earlier. How has the internet influenced your work?
Well, I mean, I guess I can answer it in a way I didn't before. I mean, I don't think I ever would have made the woodworking plans without the influx of interest in the videos we were making over the pandemic. So yeah, I mean, that's been exciting. That's kind of connected me and opened up opportunities to talk to talented woodworkers like you guys and kind of connect with really talented designer makers that I don't think I would have really had that opportunity or thought to have had that opportunity. So, and the internet's had a pretty positive impact, I guess I would say, in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great point.
For sure. Yep, exactly. Well, with that, Sam, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
So Instagram and TikTok's Cordova Woodworking and website's cordovawoodworking.com. And yeah, I mean, I'm not some big fancy company. If you message me on Instagram, I'll get back to you probably within a couple hours or depending what I'm doing, maybe right away.
Yeah. I always say within 24 hours.
I mean, it does. If it's on the weekend, I don't work as much on the
weekend. Well, what did a friend of mine say? He said, you're not telling a lie if you can make it the truth within 24 hours.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
That's
the philosophical portion of the show right there.
There you go. There you go. Oh, with that, man. Brian, where can folks find you?
Instagram. Pretty much the only place you can find me anymore. It's Obst Woodworks. And Obst is just simply OBST. Kyle, how about you?
You can always find me at Barton.Kyle or BB Custom Tools, bbcustomtools.com, or on YouTube under BB Custom Tools and Kyle Barton. Sean, what about yourself?
Per usual, you can find me at SeanW78 on most social medias.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.